was going to be back in the book of Luke tonight, but Lord just changed my mind and well, the Lord spoke to me. But no, let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 18. I think that's the chapter that I need to go to. Or is it? May not be. Chapter 16, 14, I might. I was in chapter 18, but it's not. This chapter 10 right now. And we can see some things here where the Lord has spoke to Joshua, and not only Joshua, but Caleb also, about some things that where they wanted to hear, and they needed to hear something from God. And God would, you know, God's always an individual that will encourage his people. If his people wants to really be encouraged, he will do his part and he will encourage us. But here in chapter 10, in the, I believe it was, where is it at? Doggone, just lost again. I'll be with you just a second. I know y'all ain't never like this. Let's go to chapter 4 in the book of Joshua, chapter 4. Chapter 4 in the book of Joshua. We're going to start reading here in verse 1. Read down to about verse 5. And then we're going to skip over and go to verse 11. And it says, speaking about Joshua and speaking about the memorials and all of these things, but we just got to depend on the Lord tonight, and I have to depend on him each and every time. But tonight, I'm asking the Lord to really do something tonight that's within our, that we need, and that we can see here something tonight that maybe we've never seen before in God's precious word. But it says right here, it says, "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priests' feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children are asked thy father in times to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Right here, where we've just read about the two memorials, and not only that, we read about the stones. Now, it's 12 stones there, in which they represent the 12 different tribes there, and we see where one man, he picked up one stone. So that one stone must have been kind of heavy. Because if it was small stones, he would have probably picked up more than one stone. But you know, that right there tells me something, that we today are heavy-hearted. Why? Because of the world that we live in. Because the country that has left God and left its morals. We don't have no standards anymore. But we need to be like Joshua. We need to be like these 12 men whom Joshua had prepared, of the children of Israel, out of the tribes. But the two memorials, which is 12 stones taken out of Jordan and erected by Joshua in Gilgad, and it is 12 stones left in Jordan to be overwhelmed by its waters, are memorials markings the distinction between Christ's death under judgment in the believer's place and the believer's perfect deliverance from judgment. The stones in Jordan River stands typically for the children of Israel. We know that God, in the Old Testament, He would take things that where He had created, and He would take it in the children of Israel, and He would compare them to the different things that was in the earth. Now he's comparing the children of Israel right here to them 12 stones. He's preparing them because why? Because he knows that they have a heavy heart. The heart has been hardened and they've got away from God. But God wants them to come back. God wants his people to come back at all costs. We know today that some people have allowed the heart to be hardened. And they won't come in. And they really don't want to come in and be blessed. But then you've got some, yes, they would love to come back. You got some people that has left this church that would love to come back. But because of their own of them being ashamed, of them being maybe not think that they feel good enough to come back. Nobody in this world, in the right mind, feels the way that they need to feel to be in God's house. You know, because if it was up to me, I doubt very seriously that I would be in church today. But the reason that I am in church and the reason I'm doing what I'm doing is because of a special type and a special kind of love. A special kind of love. And if you have that special kind of love, that love will overshadow that hardened heart. It will overshadow that embarrassment. And that being ashamed and all of that. We should not ever allow someone else to keep us separated from God's blessings. We should always want to step out and come out and say, Lord, I'm coming and I'm coming to receive a blessing from you. I'm not going to church to receive a blessing from the pastor. I'm not going to church to receive a blessing from the deacons or the Sunday school teachers or the other people there. But I want to come to church to receive the blessings that you have there in heaven and that you have picked out and you have chosen for me today. That's what keeps me going, because I know that each and every time that I come, that God has a blessing for me. Oh yeah, I could have stayed at home, but what if I stayed at home? What's going to happen? I may come down with a severe headache. I might get sick and can't do. And I don't need that. I don't need to get sick. I don't need to get to the point to where I can't do. I want to be where God wants me to be. And where God wants me to be is in the center of his will. How do we know that we're in the center of God's will? How do we know that? Well, one reason that I know is because I have the peace of God on me. I'm not thinking about this and I'm not thinking about doing that or something else. I'm not thinking about going out here, down to the church where I'm going to, they can't give me all that much. They don't have any but a few people. But you know, I heard of a church. Man, they got a 150 people. They can offer me $400, $500, $600 a week. I'm not in the center of God's will if I'm thinking about that. If I'm thinking about another a church that can offer me more money and can have more people. I'm not in the center of God's will. What is God going to do for me there that He cannot do here? Nothing. Oh yeah, they may be able to give me more money, but the thing about it is, I look at it this way. More money comes, more headache comes. I don't want to be out of the center of God's will. I want to be right where God wants me. That's the reason I believe that you're here. It's because you know within your heart that this is where God wants you. And if you did not believe that, if you did not believe that you was in the center of God's will, then God would have placed you somewhere else to where you'd be faithful and where you could do for Him. But today, people, they get so agitated about what's going on in the church. Well, it ain't going this way, and it ain't going that way, and this and that and everything, and we don't got the money to do this, we ain't got the money to do that. Hey, so what? When God does bless us with what we need, then we'll cherish in what He's given us a little closer. But if He gives us something and just to give it to us to make us a little happy, it don't really make us happy. You know, I like the song where there's a lady in town. She used to sing it. She's the Angelora, and she's probably singing it. And she can carry a tune now. But she couldn't carry no tune when she's down here. But I'll tell you what. She'd get up here and sing. And she'd bless everyone. I mean, somebody where knows that they what they're doing it from the heart. And they're not doing it for the people. That they're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. The people can sense that. The people can understand where they're coming from. Why is that? Because I believe one day they had a stone that they was carrying. And they carried that stone. And the stone was heavy. And it weighted them down. Just like over in the book of Hebrews. In chapter 12, I believe it is. Talking about the weight. Where people are carrying and having the weight upon their shoulders. They're having and they're carrying the weight of sin with them. Every day. And they're weighted down. We don't need to be weighted down with sin. Because when you're weighted down with sin, and if I'm weighted down with sin, I'm no good at all to no one. I'm no good to God. Because I will not do God's bidding or what he wants me to do. I will do only what I wanted to do. And that's not right. I'm not supposed to do what I want to do. I'm supposed to do what God wants me to do. But you know, in thinking about what God wants us to do, and I'm speaking about myself now, I'm not speaking about nobody else. But I believe what this book says. And what this book says, I'm going to have to give account for. Whether I'm bad or not, I'm going to have to give an account for it. I'm going to have to give an account when I stand there before God the Father. And he's going to ask me, say, son, why did you do this on this particular date? Right now, you could ask me, and I couldn't tell you the date. I couldn't tell you the day it happened on. But when I stand before Almighty God, and when God brings up that date, and he brings up that specific thing that he wanted me to do and I did not do, it's going to be just as clear to me as it was then at the very moment that he asked me to do it. Why? Because God wants us to understand him. Oh, in the book of Peter, it's speaking about that we must have the mind of Christ. What Peter is talking about there, and what the Lord is talking about, what's speaking about is that we must strive to have the mind of Christ. We must strive for that, and that striving is for perfection, for maturity. And how do you mature in anything? You have to practice at it. You have to do it over, over, and over again. I'm not saying come to church, and you come to church on Sunday morning just to, well, tomorrow's Sunday, I got to get up in the morning and go to church. We should be happy tomorrow's coming. We should be happy that a day is coming to where we can be in God's house. We should be happy to the point that where we can meet with the other people. We can be happy and we can rejoice in that. I mean, if nothing else, I look at it this way. And which really, I really don't look at it this way, but that's the way a whole that's the reason I think that people need to look at it that way, is that they go out here and they are working, they're in the world, and they're of the world every day. They hear the foul language. They see the ungodly stuff that's going on. Then you come home after work and you turn on the TV or maybe want to read the paper. And what do? Same old thing. It's nothing good. Nothing good at all happens anymore. They don't want to print nothing that's good.
If it's bad, they want to print it. If it's bad, they want to put it on TV. But if anything's good, they don't want to put it out. Why? Because they're not going to make as much money off of that. It all comes down to the dollar bill. That's one reason I love to be in God's house, because when I know in the morning, in tomorrow night, that I'm going to be back here tomorrow night. And what I've heard during the day, and what I've seen, and what I've read during the day, of all the stuff that's going on, I can come back tomorrow night and I can hear something that will energize me, that will perk me up and say, you know, everything is not as dim and it's not as bad as everybody says it is. You know, we still have some young people like him. We still got young people that wants to serve the Lord. We got young people that want to do right. But a whole lot of them is held back. Why? Because of the parents. Because of the parents. Because of the parents won't get up on Sunday morning and take the child to church and stay at church with them. And the child, they sense that. The child wants to go. Why does the child want to go to church? Because it's other children there. See, they look at it as other children. But the whole time they're going, they're learning something. And you can take a classroom of young kids that's 6, 7, and 8 years old, or 4 and 5 years old, and you can put them in that room and you can start teaching. And the first thing you know, he'll start talking out and we'll say, Susie, kind of calm it down. You just sit down now. You've got to listen. Oh, Johnny. Wait a minute, Johnny, you gotta sit down, you gotta behave yourself now. Hey, we don't need to worry about things like that. We don't need to worry about them, because you can turn around the next week or 2 weeks later and you can ask them, what was this Sunday school lesson on last Sunday? And they can tell you. They can tell you. See, one thing, the difference between me and the children is that children can do 4 or 5 things, and they can be talking and doing all of that, and they still knows what's going on. But yet with me, if I get past the talking and I start doing something else, I lose my train of thought. They never lose their train of thought. Because they can come back and they can tell you exactly what's going on. So what we must do, we must not really worry about the children. What we must worry about is their parents. I know we've had people, and I've said in the past, that we must concentrate on trying to get young people in the church. I think so. But we can concentrate on getting them in church through the parents. We need to get the parents in church. We need to get them to hear the Word of God. We need to get them to get their heart right with God. We need for them to be in the house of God, and then they won't have to worry about the children all that much. Why? Because they'll tell that child, say, guess where we're going in the morning? That child said, we're going to church, ain't we? Hey, children like to go to church. They like to go to church. But the reason they don't today is because the mama or the daddy will take them to church and drop them off and leave them. And then they will go on and do what they were going to do and all that. That's not right. You don't do that. And you come back and you tell me that you love that child. They don't know what the real meaning of love is all about. Because they really don't love that child. If they love that child, then they would be in church and seeing what's happening. Seeing if anybody is mistreating my child. See, they look at the church as a babysitting service. Where they can come by and they can just drop them off. Oh, well, that'll happen for 2 hours. That'll happen for 2 hours in the morning. So we can go on and we can shop. And we don't have to worry about the kids over here pulling on our dress or pulling on a coat or something like that. And say, Mama, Daddy, I want this. Mama, Daddy, I want that. As far as I'm concerned, if the parents does not want to go to church with them and don't want to get up and take the child to church, when the parents does go out to Walmart and they go to these different places, when they know that they need to be in God's house, then that child, as far as I'm concerned, has the right to pull on that skirt, to pull on that overcoat, and start crying, just get down in the floor and just start wailing away. Because they want that. The parents does the same thing. They hadn't got out there and rolled on the floor and cried. But they might have well had. I'd rather be in a house of God than in a place that I know of. One thing about it, when you're in the house of God, you don't have to ever worry about getting hungry. Because He is going to fill you up. He's going to fill you up. And He's going to give you a type of thirst to where you can feel it. And the thirst is about going out, seeing somebody else saved. I love taking the Bible, sitting with somebody. I love that. Sometimes I get nervous at it, and I don't do a very good job at it. Which I don't look to myself and doing it anyhow. It has to be done by the Lord. It has to be done by Him if the individual's going to get saved. But see, it's going to take men and women like us that is just willing to say, Lord, send me. I will go. Send me, Lord. And as I get to where you want me to go, when I get in the presence of the people, Lord, I'm asking for you to give me the very word that will pierce their heart. And if you don't give it to me, then what I say is not going to amount to nothing. But what does come from these lips, Father, I want you to put them there to where when they're said that they can say, I don't believe that come from them. That come from somebody else. You know,
I can remember the first time for me. I can remember the first time like it was just an hour ago. I was so nervous. And yes, and I had my Bible with me when I went to the hospital. When I stood there, I was so nervous. And my legs had got so weak. I mean, my legs now, and what they have felt like and where I've been weakness. And what time that they've been so weak this time in the last few months. They were strong compared to compare what they were that day and at that moment. They were so weak. I couldn't even stand still. I was walking all around in that room. I was nervous. I couldn't even get my words to come out right. But I depended on the Lord. I said, Lord, this is one of your children here that is one away from you. You wanted them to get saved. You wanted them to where you could call them the child of God. But you can't do that now, Lord. I don't know what to say to them. So Lord, you do what you have to do. Don't do what I think needs to be done, but you do what has to be done. For them to escape the penalties of hell. You know, we get to the point that we get so timid. We don't really want to just come out and flat out tell the people because we're in their home, or we may be where that they're at on the job, somewhere like that. We don't want to come out and say, if you don't accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to die and go to hell. And when you die and go to hell now, everything that you've ever heard, every individual, now I believe this with all my heart, that every individual has went and prayed for them, every individual has went and witnessed to them, that when they're in hell, I think with the agony that is spoken about in the book of Revelations, in the other places, I believe the agony that they're going to go through is the agony of amazing grace. That's where the agony is going to come in, because they're going to hear the songs that they have heard. They're going to hear the song, the victory. They're going to hear the song that they've always heard when they went by to church. They may not have been went for 2 years, but you take, well, you come to church 2 times out of the year, and if you live, what, 30, 40 years, what? 40 years, you know, you done heard them songs 80 times, just in one service, just in one church. Just think. They
they're going to be playing over and over and over in your mind. Only time I want the Amazing Grace to be played over and over and over in my mind is with the Lord's blessing. I ain't got to worry about talking. I ain't got to worry about that. The agony of defeat. Yes, we've been defeated. People's been defeated today by the devil, by Lucifer, by Satan, by the serpent. They're being deceived today by the billboards that the businesses puts up by you. Some of them are even being deceived in going to the churches that they go to because they don't get nothing. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, this day. Now, Father, we ask God that you'll just take, Father, what was said. And I know, Lord, that it was said in a way where the Father, somebody like you would have to take it and, Father, and put it back together in a way to where the people can be able to digest from it. Father, where the heart can be softened by it. Now, Lord, we just ask now that you would be with the people. Father, give them the very desire of the heart. Be with each and every family that is represented here. And we thank you for what you're going to do this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.